Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go ahead and take your seat. And of course, you know where Hebrews, the second chapter, is. And in fact, a lot of you might think to yourself, well, you know, we keep going to Hebrews every week. It's got to be boring. It is anything but boring. This is not fast food. This is good food. I don't know about you, when there's fast food, you kind of eat it fast. But when there's good food, you take your time. And this is good stuff that God's Word has to say. Title of our message is When We See Jesus. Life just changes when you see Jesus. I'll explain that to you in a moment and what it means. In order to understand the title, understand where we're going, I want to share this with you, first of all, right off the bat. For some of you, you need to understand something. When we go to the Word of God, this is not a history lesson. I quite frankly don't give a flip about what the church was like in the text of Hebrews. I want to know how the Word of God speaks to me today. If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then this Word is for me today. And how it applies in my life. You know, the Bible, in case you didn't know this, describes itself as the hidden mysteries of God. You've heard me say this before. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. The hidden mysteries of God. Hidden because they're hard to find, and mysteries because they're hard to figure out. That's why when you read your Bible, you go, whoa, what? But when you find them and you figure them out, and you start applying them in your life, it becomes a manual on how to live life, how to have great marriages, not just a good marriage, how to raise great kids, not just to have good kids, how to be prosperous in every area of your life. This is where prosperity will come from that'll last and fill you the right way and keep you on track in the right way. As you learn the Word of God, as you apply it in your life, it changes the world that you live in. And that's why we go line upon line, precept upon precept. You know why? Because God today wants to speak to you about something. Loves you so much. Cares about you so much. He wants to speak to you. Are you listening is the question. Will you see Jesus? That's a bigger question. Let me explain by taking you to the second chapter of Hebrews. We're going to start off in verse number 8, which leads up to verse number 9. The two of them are sort of connected so that you can understand the first few words of verse number 9. But verse number 8, Deborah so well described it a couple of weeks ago, but I want to amplify it for just a moment so that we can all get on the same page. I love this verse number 8. It says, you. And I want you to look at the word you for a second. Notice how it's capitalized. It's speaking of God himself. And everything that's capitalized is God, and everything that's small caps is you. Now let's take a look at it again. You have put all things in subjection under his, notice the small h in the word his, meaning you. So God just made a statement, and he says that he's put all things under your feet and my feet that are born of the Spirit of God. That's hard to understand because we don't often see that. In other words, you have dominion. You have authority. He goes on and he makes the statement. Let's look at it again. He says, for in that he, capital meaning God, put all in subjections under him. He says it again, repeats himself twice. Talking about who you are and the dominion you have and the authority you have. And may I stop you right there? Listen to this. Having and doing are two different things. You can have authority. You can have dominion. You can believe what it says right there. But if you don't take it, it doesn't work. It's like you can give me something, but if I never use it, it never happens. So there's no doubt about this. And let me say this to you. For some of you, you have a hard time dealing with what is being said right there. Here's how it really simply works. When you get saved, you get into the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And all things are put under his feet. You don't have a problem with that. If all things are put under his feet and he's the head and we're the body, guess what? All things are under our feet. And so that he's describing is your authority, your dominion over this circumstances of the world. That's what he's describing. And that you do have dominion, you do have authority. But here's the problem. A lot of people may say they know that, but they don't do it. Taking it and knowing it and having it are two different things. So he goes on and it says these words. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. In other words, the small him, meaning, in other words, we live a life that oftentimes we live in a world that doesn't understand that they're in subjection to us and dominion we have over that situation. And they don't know it, they don't recognize it, they don't see it, they don't understand it. Therefore, they will not treat you like as if you are who you are in Christ Jesus. So he says we don't see it all the time. There's not one of us in this place that we don't always see an amazing move of God instantaneously in our life. And all of a sudden we see and understand the dominion and authority that God has given us. Wow, oftentimes we don't see it taking place, but it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. So what do we see? Verse number 9 comes along, first few words says this, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. I don't see all that dominion authority taking place oftentimes in my life. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I do see something. I see Jesus. Which is really fascinating. Seeing Jesus is what this is really all about. Whether or not you see Jesus. And by the way, you do not see Jesus with your eyes. You see Jesus with your heart. And whatever you fix your heart on is what you are looking at. Biblically speaking. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whatever your heart is fixed on is what you are seeing and recognizing. And here the Bible comes along, makes a statement. He says that you and I need to come to a place in our walk, even though we don't see the dominion authority that we really have, but, you know, we live in a world that doesn't acknowledge that yet. But we come to a place where we do what? We see Jesus. In the fact that the world doesn't see it, we still see Jesus. And he's the proof of what we are believing God for. And so he comes along, makes that statement. Now, may I say this to you? If we see Jesus with our heart, then he makes a statement that comes along. What you fix your heart on is what you really got your focus on. So when someone comes along and had times of trouble, and he says, focus on Jesus. And what they're really saying is turn your heart to Jesus. See Jesus in the circumstance. You don't see the circumstances because if you fix your heart on the circumstances, you're not going to make it. But if you fix your heart on Jesus, it's going to work. Now you might stop right there and say to me, Pastor Jim, is this one of those psycho-cybernetics, new age, some thinking, positive thinking type message? No, the difference is I'm not fixed on what I can do, I'm fixed on what he can do. And that's what the Bible tells us to do, is that I'm fixed on who my Jesus is inside of me. I'm not fixed on who I am and what ability I have, because quite frankly, I can't get anywhere, do anything. I can't say or be whatever it is that I think it ought to be. It's not about my ability, it's about his ability on the inside of me. And I've got to get fixed on his ability on the inside of me. I got to see him with my heart. And whether or not you are trained to see God in everything, is whether or not you'll be successful. Let's talk about just for a moment. Listen, you can be trained to see God when you have problems. But did you know the greatest training from the problems is whether or not you see God in the midst of blessings? A lot of people don't understand that. In the midst of blessings can be more difficult. Hello, got a sound problem? Somebody turn those off. And so in the midst of the blessing, that's when you find difficult times. A lot of times people don't see that. So a lot of people can't handle the blessings. They look at the blessings, they look at all that stuff instead of looking at God. And that's oftentimes a situation. So I can, in the midst of problems, trials, tribulations, evil temptations, and pressures of life, I find myself oftentimes looking at those bad situations, and I can look at Jesus and know he's my answer, but all of a sudden when things are good, I stop looking at Jesus and I start looking at the stuff. Is anybody listening to me? Back in the sound booth, in case you don't know it, Missy, I've got major problems with sound up here, so help me. Thank you, David. Nope, still on. Thank you, that's it. So a lot of times we've got to learn how to do this. And may I say this to you about this? In order to get your heart turned on, fixed on to seeing Jesus, it's a practice. Everybody that's in here needs to always understand something. You learn the Word of God. Until you practice the Word of God, it doesn't work. And you practice this stuff. A guy that plays a sport practices a sport. A person that's a physician practices being a physician. When you go to work, you practice learning how to do your job. After you've done it a while, it's no longer something difficult. Why? Because you practice it. The Word of God's not any different. So today you're going to learn some principles about keeping your eyes on Jesus. It'll be an incentive to you. And whether or not you do it, it's all about whether or not you're going to walk out of here today and practice this. So I want to give you some incentives today on why in every situation, good, bad, trials, tribulations, times of blessing and times of pressure, that you keep your eyes on Jesus. But we see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, things happen. Let me share with you some of the things that happen when you see Jesus. And I'm saying it to you so that it'll be an incentive to you again. Cares vanish. Peace lives. Hope floods. Faith rises. Success comes when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's talk about each one of these. Here's the reason why. Whatever pressures you're in, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever situation, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. It may not look like you have dominion now. It may not look like you have authority now. You may not see the results of your prayer right now, but I've got to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, number one, cares vanish. And every single one of us need to understand that we don't need to carry those cares any longer. And we need to get out of carrying it. It's not our problem. In other words, we can't handle that. We've got to cast those cares on He that careth. We've got to get rid of the cares. Most of the time we're so full of anxiety, so much full of cares. You know what we say? We'll serve God. We'll love God. We'll look at God if we just get all these cares off of us. Financial cares or economic cares or social cares or cares of the job or cares or pressures of the world that we live in. We zero in on the cares and we carry cares all the time. And here's what I'm going to say to you. As long as you're carrying the care, Jesus can't get involved in it. You got to give it to Jesus so He can go to work on it. If you want to carry it, then He'll back off and say, go ahead, you do it. Because you can't carry this. You got to see Jesus in it. That's all. And if you keep seeing Jesus in it, man, you're not going to have the problem. I like what it says in Philippians. Go there in your Bible, Philippians. Let's take a look at the fourth chapter. Turn me to Philippians, fourth chapter, verse number 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. You see the word anxious up there? The word anxious is an interesting word. The word anxious, for some of your Bible, it means careful. Don't be careful. It says this, don't be full of cares for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, giving thanks, let our requests be made known to God. So all of a sudden, here comes something. He says, immediately turn your cares, get your brain off your cares, get your brain and your heart off your cares, start seeing Jesus, get over it. Here's what we mostly do. We say, guy, Lord, I've got this weight on me. It might be an economic weight. You're checking the mailbox all the time, see if it comes in. It might be a social weight. It might be a political weight. It might be some other kind of thing. There's all kinds of stuff on us all the time, these pressures. You've got to get off the pressures and get on to Jesus. Stop seeing the care more than you see the person who's going to deliver you from the care. Amen. And when you give your care, it just vanishes. Immediately, boom, gone. I got my eyes fixed on Jesus. I like what it says in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse number 7. You got to check it out with me. Casting all, not some, not just the ones you can get rid of, all, big ones, little ones. Is there anybody in here of times don't carry your cares? You know what I'm talking about. It's called worry. And you carry your cares all the time. He says, casting all. I should have highlighted the word all. Your care upon Him. Notice capital H, Him, God. I've got to give this to God. I've got to cast it off to God. For He cares for you. Did you see the word He cares? He loves you. He doesn't want to see you down, Debbie. He didn't want you to carry something you're not able to carry that He'll carry for you. And the word cares in our society means when someone comes along and says they care for you, that means they like you. The word cares here means much more than that. Cast your care on He that cares for you means a whole lot more than that. It means that He's your provider, He's your protector. He leads you, He guides you, He confronts you, He conforms you, He comforts you in every situation. Immediately there's a vanish of your cares as soon as you get your eyes, your heart fixed on Jesus. Most people never learn that principle. Did you know you were not ever made by God to carry the cares? Never. It's not in your DNA. In the garden, you lost your position, but you didn't lose who you are. And you were never made, never designed, in your DNA, was never designed for you to carry the cares. God must carry them for you. And you've got to give them to Him every day and get your eyes back on Jesus. The moment you do, cares vanish. Number two, when we see Jesus, not only the cares vanish, but peace lives. Thank God, peace lives. Peace isn't just something I earn, something I work at, something I try to do all the time. You know that most of us work all of our life so that we can someday retire, so that we can have some kind of an income, so that you can have some kind of support while in your older age and you're unable to work. Did you know you work all of your life so you can have some peace, and you've never been designed by God to ever have peace from what you earn or what you have in the bank or what you've got in a wallet? Peace doesn't come from what you have. It comes from who lives in you. Jesus said, I will give you My peace. And Jesus makes it very clear that the peace that comes from God surpasses understanding. In other words, my understanding says, I really shouldn't feel this peace. I really should be worried. I really should be upset. I really should be like whacked out about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, next week. But you know what? I have cast my cares, and peace now lives in me because it's beyond my own understanding. It goes past your human calculation. But you got to give it to God. Let peace. And I love these words. So cool in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 6. Listen to what it says. 8th chapter says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. Now, by the way, the word minded doesn't just mean your brain. It means your heart. Your heart and your mind hooked together. Remember this, you see with your heart. He says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you know you want life and peace. You know you need life and peace. I do. Every day I need life and peace. It doesn't come by what I accomplish. Doesn't come by what I fulfill. Doesn't come by what I have in the bank. Doesn't come by what kind of car I have or house I have or job or who recognizes me, whether or not I have acceptance by men or recognized by men or our personal achievements of myself where I can pat myself on the back. None of that will ever bring peace. Peace comes from the peace giver who is the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. And you have got to see and been made by God to see where peace comes from and who the Prince of Peace is. His name is Jesus. And then life and peace. I want life. I want peace. Then you're going to have to be spiritually minded. Get your heart fixed back on God. Is anybody listening? We're talking about an incentive is when we see Jesus, number one, cares vanish, peace lives. But I love this one, hope floods. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a day without having hope. Hope means I'm facing tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be better today. God got me through April, but now I'm looking at May. I want you to know something. 2010, we survived, but 2011 is in the hands of God. And my God can open doors no man can open, close doors no man can close. It's not based on me. It's based on Him. His grace surpasses me. Therefore, guess what? I've got hope for tomorrow. Today may be a great day, but tomorrow's a better day. If you want to know something, next week, next month, next year, it's even better because our God is in control. And that's hope. And I don't want to live a life without hope. No, no. Without hope, man is depressing, discouraged, and frustrated. Where I'm at today is not where I'll be tomorrow. And where I'll be tomorrow is not where I'm going to be at next week. And where I'm going to be at next week is not where I'm going to be next year. Because I've got the Prince of Peace on my side. And God builds hope in the inside of us. That hope is magnificent. In fact, the Word of God is so interesting. You may not ever realize this, but when you start focusing in on Jesus, you start to become the living billboard for Jesus. You ever drive on a freeway on a consistent basis? Somehow you find yourself reading the same billboard over and over and over. You're kind of almost excited when they change it. Because you arrive at every day, you read that same billboard. So you even try to look to the other side. I'm not going to look at that again. Did you know that you become a living billboard for Jesus when you got hope on the inside? Hope comes from who God is. God will take care of it. God will make us. I mean, Debbie and I lived in a world of hope. We never saw anything, but we lived in a world of hope. 1 Peter 3 chapter verse 15. Let me just pop it up on the overhead. Because it says it like this, but sanctify the Lord in your what? Hearts. This is all about your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for your hope that is in you. When you walk around, man, and you got hope on the inside of you, you don't know how you're going to make it, but God's on the inside of you. You don't know how it's going to happen, God's going to make a way. You don't know how it's going to be, but the Lord is there. And you got hope on the inside of you. Your face will tell you. And when your face tells you, it'll tell the world around you. And the world around you will come knocking at your door asking, what is it that you have? Some of you got faces like hell is approaching your life. You need to know that hope is on its way. And you ought to change your face from a hell face to a hope face. God is in the house. He's going to do a great and mighty thing. Are you hearing me now? Without hope, man, we have no future whatsoever. I love this. So when we see Jesus, cares vanish and peace lives and hope floods. I love this. Faith arises. There's something on the inside of you. You just know that you know that you know that you know. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the world says. I don't give a flip about CNN. I don't give a flip about Fox News. You watch one, they make you mad. You turn on the other, they make you madder. Let me tell you something. Don't turn any of them on. Turn your heart on to Jesus. I'm telling you, there's good news there. And the good news is this, that faith arises. And when you got faith that you're believing God, it can happen. There is nothing impossible to him that believes. The Bible makes it very clear. You can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Not because you're so cool, not because you quote a scripture, not because you're so, you know, you got your funk on that day, or you're one of those people that are walking around and you know you got your do looking just right and you look real good. Not about you, it's about Jesus. Are you hearing me? And you got your faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he cannot fail. Woo, that's good news. And faith just arises. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Jesus is speaking in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse number 23. Listen to what it says. And Jesus said to him, if, here's the biggest little word in the Bible. We all want the blessings. We all want the promises of God. We don't want the promises of God that have conditions. We want the promises of God without conditions. I'm telling you, if you find them, let me know. There's a promise of God without conditions. We know that, but most of them have a condition. And the condition is the biggest little word in the Bible, if. If you can believe. Oh, you're in a world that everything's telling you, you aren't going to make it. You're in a world that economically you're going to fail. You're in a world that says you can't make it. You're in a world that says no, but I got a God who says yes. I got a God that goes past death, raises that which is dead to life. I got a God that opens the blind eyes, raises the dead, opens the deaf ears. I got a God who, I want you to know, walks on the water. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And guess what? When he says these words, if you can believe, some things are possible. Does he say that? A few things are possible. The logical things are possible. Only if someone else says it is it possible. Doesn't say that. He says if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Faith rises. This whole ministry has been built not on a man's personality or a woman's personality. This whole ministry has been built on just that very fact. Man, if you can believe, I can do great things. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. Come on, somebody. You ought to give the Lord a great big praise. So today, this is an incentive message on cares that vanish if we will just see Jesus. Peace that lives. Hope that floods. Faith that rises, and the last one, success that comes. Because God loves you, he wants you successful. My goodness, if you have children, you know what I'm talking about. You'd do anything for your children. Whatever it takes for your children to be successful. Whatever it takes for your children to be prosperous. Whatever it takes for your children to be happy. Whatever it takes, you'll give away your own money that you need for them to be successful. You'll help them in areas, everything you can. God's not any different, my friends. God loves you. And because he wanted you successful, he sent himself to the cross in the form of his son that died on that cross so that you can be successful. God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. In your home, with your marriage, with your children, with your finances, with your dreams and your vision. There's a purpose. There's a reason that you are on the planet. And God loves you and God wants you successful. If you ever go to a church that tells you different than that, you ought to run from that church because God loves you and God wants to see you succeed. He just won't make you successful in areas when those areas of success will pull you down because you don't know how to see Jesus in the good as well as the bad. Is anybody listening? I like what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse number 35. It's been taught that this is about Jesus never leaving us. I want you to know that is bad theological understanding. It's not about Jesus leaving us. It's about us leaving Jesus. In verse number 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall problems, tribulations, distress, persecutions, should lack of money and lack of food and lack of clothing and perils of this world and armies, what shall separate us from God? And then verse number 36 comes along, which is a fascinating verse. In verse number 36, it says, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Wait a minute. You just told me nothing can separate me from Jesus. Then you come along with a verse like this that says we're killed all the day long and we're accounted for sheep for the slaughter? Someone's thinking of us as sheep. That's not God. God doesn't think of me as sheep for the slaughter. He's not killing me all day long. Who's he talking about? The devil? Satan has got a plan to destroy you. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. He doesn't know that all things are put under your feet. He'll put pressure on you to see whether or not you really believe this and whether or not he can take advantage of you, because he accounts you, sees you as sheep for the slaughter. So here's one verse that says nothing shall separate us. Another verse that says not even the work of the devil, who thinks you're nothing, he'll count you as slaughter. But then in verse number 37 comes along and he says, yet in all these things, we're talking about success. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Oh, I tell you what, my friends. We are more than conquerors through Christ. That's success. Today, back to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number 9. We may not in verse number 8 understand everything, but in verse number 9, we may not see the dominion and authority that we have coming to pass immediately, because we've got to take it, not just know that we have it. But guess what? In verse number 9, until we learn to take the authority and dominion that God has given us, we see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, cares vanish, peace lives, hope floods, faith arises, success comes. Now, isn't it worth learning and practicing how to do this every day with every situation that you're involved in? The good as well as the bad. And the question is, do you see Jesus in the midst? Because when you do, at that time, boom! You're free. If God spoke to you today, come on, give him a great big praise the Lord. Will you do that? Hallelujah.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.